I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Sing me a little jingle, Janice.
On the road again.
Ding, 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 ding. On the road again. Okay, now we're going to get sued for licensing. All right. The Maximize Your Life Tour is on. We are coming to a city near you for an evening of inspiration and information and entertainment. Come. Honestly, please come. It's an opportunity for us to have a direct connection and a dialogue. I want to show you everything that's going on behind the scenes on Biggest Loser. Yes, we're going to talk diet, and yes, we're going to talk fitness, but what we're really going to talk about is why you aren't activating on that information and why you might not be activating in other areas of your life. I want to help you blast through every obstacle and live the life that you dream and that you deserve. And you know I can do it because I've done it with hundreds of people on national television. Let me help you. Help me help you. Huh? Jerry Maguire. That's
very
my best
good.
Jerry Maguire.
Yeah. And that's what I thought as soon as you said that.
And I can. Yeah. I can. I will give you that light bulb moment. I'm that good.
Uh-huh. And we also wander your streets, too. Shopping. We buy things. We go into your stores.
We do. Yeah. So now we really need your $25.
You really can't
miss
her.
You got to go to... So go to www.jillianmichaelslive.com to buy tickets and get tour dates and find out what cities we're in. And I really do hope to see you there. All kidding aside. Oh, my gosh, Manus.
Yeah. I always get worried when the segments start with a very big sigh. I know that there's going to be some kind of frustration in the world of Jillian Michaels.
Oh, my gosh. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's actually not a bad thing. It's an exhausting thing. But I don't know if I've ever talked about the saga of trying to renovate our house.
Oh, I've heard.
And the Coastal Commission and the whole thing. And it's been a... You know, we bought this house that was literally falling down because we were like, oh, you know, we loved the beach.
And you got it for like what, $25,000?
Unfortunately, no. But we thought we got it at a good price at the time. But we realize we actually did not. But we thought, you know, it had a bunch of unused space. And we were like, wow, we can add all this space to it. We can improve the value. You know, we love the beach. It's got great bones. And I was like, well, I'll just fix it. this is fine. I'm just going to go in and just fix everything. And, you know, it's
that's a typical thing you would say.
Well, of course. I'll fix it. And if anybody has ever actually seen posts of mine, like, there's, you know, you may have seen parts of the house. Like, we have bright yellow metal stairs that run all the way through the household. Or, you know, glass bricks from 1991. I'm not kidding. Like the sinks, like, nothing works. The plumbing's ruined. The whole house leaks. Like,
oh, no
all
kidding.
The appliances. Right. And the entire time, like, we've been scotch taping the place together for 3 years because every year we're like, oh, no, we're going to get permits. Oh, no, we're going to get permits. And it has been the saga from hell.
Because the state of California in general.
It's the Coastal Commission.
Oh, okay.
It's the Coastal Commission.
Okay.
So, to make a very long story short, in that time frame, you know, we've been robbed twice. Twice. Someone broke into our house, which I'm pretty sure we've talked about. Did we talk about that when I told you? But,
A while back.
Yeah, someone broke into the house, and then we had another robbery where someone stole just my car. So I've had two cars stolen. And it's the way the house is constructed. It's just a whole saga, right? So... We have finally gotten to a place with the city where they're ready to approve the plans and we're going to be moving forward with construction in a matter of weeks, right? So my contractor is like, okay, it's time to move out, you know, time to move. Well, all right, let me be clear. We have two homes. One, the home that I had when I was single in the city.
Right.
And then I, you know, had Heidi, and then
I had Heidi.
Oh, I did. I had Heidi. And then I had two kids.
Right.
And then I had more dogs and a bird. So, you know, this went from, like, my great little bachelorette pad to all of a sudden a family home. And, we've been like, all right, well, it's great and everything, but, like, it can't hold us. So that house is full of crap, though. Full of crap. When I say
the
crap,
city
I
house.
Mean stuff.
Okay.
Exactly. Stuff everywhere. Now... we tried to sell it for a few minutes, and then I was like, you know what, forget it. Take it off the market because we're going to need a place to live. I own the house, so why don't we just suck it up and live in that house while we rebuild the beach house, and then we'll make an effort to, you know, get rid of that house. So that house is filled with crap, okay? Now I got a beach house that's bigger than my city house, which is also bursting at the seams with crap. I have spent at least 8 full days of my life trying to clean out both houses. And I mean, it's just, I'm finding things like, you know, we have 10 tubes of diaper cream. 10 tubes of, like, Honest diaper cream, Burt's Bees diaper cream, like, diaper cream for days. Like, I have seen crayons, I mean, crayons shaped like rocks, crayons with Mickey Mouse at the top of them, big crayons, little crayons. I mean, we have 6 yoga mats. 3 yoga mats each. Okay? It goes on and on and on and on. We have 4 garlic presses at one house alone.
And 2 yoga mats with the dogs printed on them.
Yeah! Yeah! 2 of them had the dogs on them. Like, I mean, we had 6 freaking... I tried to give them to Autumn, and Autumn was like, no, I don't want to go to yoga with your dog on my mat. So, my point is, I'm not kidding, dude. It's like, not only do we have 2 of everything because there's 2 houses, there's at least multiples of everything at every house. And
right.
I was like, how is this happening? And I sort of like, I tried to kind of, you know, because Heidi has a huge issue with throwing things away. A huge issue with it. And I was like, babe. So, of course, I've been the one cleaning out the house, and it's been like a huge source of stress. And you know, I'm like, and she doesn't, you know. She doesn't want to throw anything out, and I'm like, babe, like, what, how in the name of God did we end up with, like, 20 boxes of crayons? How did we end up with, like, 20 boxes of this? Why do we have, like, 10 bottles of baby sunblock, and, you know, like, it goes on and on and on and on, and it's also, like, it's fascinating because her mother will give us, like, I mean, we have kids coloring books that you, like, we must have 50 of them. 50. Do you know how many the kids have colored in? None. You know what? They use computer paper and just scribble all over it. Like, white paper. Like, it goes on and on and on. And I find that, you know, she's like, it's really tied to this whole psychology for her of, like, guilt. Waste, Mm-hmm. All of this stuff, and I don't even know how we accumulated all of it. Behind my back, perhaps?
Like, I don't know. It's not a vendetta.
I swear to God. Like, and she's got an answer for everything. Like, I'm like, why do we have all these crayons? And she's like, well, you know, we had bought a bunch of them, you know, to take when you were going to go to Haiti, to take to the orphanage. And, you know, and then they wouldn't let, it just goes on and on and on, right? And like, oh, well, we got sent this and I didn't want to throw it away. And it's like, you know, so anyway, the point is, it's really hard for her. Like, when we had a conversation, because I, you know, finally we had this conversation last night, and I was like, you know what? I want to be you, where all of a sudden, you know, we're just magically, we've taken two houses that are completely overstuffed, and I've fitted into one house that only fit me, you know, 5 years ago. I just have it miraculously happen, because she's just not really helping me. And she, like, broke into tears, which, of course, made me feel terrible. And she's like, I just can't throw things away. It's like all this guilt and all this waste mentality. And I was like, babe, remember that little family that we sponsored for Christmas? So, right, there was, like, this, I think I talked about it a little bit, where, like, this woman has four kids and she's 28. And I was like, instead of feeling guilty about getting rid of things, this should inspire the spirit of generosity. Like, I'm not going to throw away a perfectly good garlic press or a perfectly good coloring book or a perfectly good box of crayons. But never in this lifetime will we possibly be able to go through all these crayons and all these coloring books. Like, the children's fingers will be bloodied. Like, coloring in their last coloring book at the age of 54. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, baby, think about that one little family and how they have nothing and our kids have 50 freaking coloring books. Or, you know, how we now, between both houses, have six garlic presses. Six. And, like, four colanders and clothing that you've never worn. Okay? Things that we have, and it's like, no, I'm going to wear it. And I'm like, but baby, in 5 years, you never have. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
and
I do.
And I was like, honey, we have 50 gray sweaters. Not literally. We probably have 10. And it's like, well, this got a different collar. Well, this one has a different sleeve. I'm like, but babe, I've been around you. You've never worn that sweater. Never. Yeah. And I guess it's just, I actually don't understand the hoarding thing, because I just don't have that. But I think if you are struggling and it comes with guilt or this feeling of waste, look at the ways that this is really, like, I'm telling you, we are suffocating under all of this crap. You can't find the things you need. It creates an environment of chaos. And by the way, with 10 gray sweaters, you couldn't even possibly choose 5 of them because you can't find them. You can maybe find one. It's constantly like, where's that one pair of pants? Well, you can't find it because it's buried in a pile of a million pairs of pants. There's something to be said for letting go of the things you don't need or don't use. And I want you to look at the ways that it might be slowing you down or suffocating you or swallowing you up or holding you back. And instead of worrying about wasting, think about recycling, the spirit of generosity, of giving to those that don't have one when you have six, or who might appreciate something that you take for granted, because that has way more benefit than letting something rot in your house because you feel guilty about getting rid of it. Mm. Does that make any sense?
Very much so. Very much so. I mean, we had this conversation before. Remember when I went to the Soma lady?
The shoulder thing.
The shoulder thing.
Yes.
And that brought up, and someone said something to me about my mom's treasures, right? Remember all the treasures?
And
they said,
let's go.
Yeah, and they said, pass it on. And they planted the seed of pass it on and let someone else enjoy it. Instead of me hoarding it, here's it. They're all in the cupboard. Let someone else see it.
Yes.
Let someone else enjoy it.
Exactly.
You know, so for me, I had to think of, but recycling's a big thing too. Like, I get where Heidi's coming from too, because it's like, you want to, and if you do get rid of it, you want to make sure it goes to, so it's, there's so much energy in it. There's a lot of work.
It's crazy. But I got it all. And I get it all. And I'm not trying to disrespect other people's upbringings. I'm simply trying, or their values for that matter. I'm simply trying to shift perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's all. I wanted to say, like, if you're one of those people where it's very tied up in guilt and what have you, you're right. Try to shift your perspective and think about how it's holding you back, how it's kind of, how it may be holding you back, how it might be disrupting your life in one way, shape, or another. And don't think of it as waste. Think of it as the gift of giving, recycling, currency, giving to somebody else and creating space in your life for something new.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cody and I cleaned up on Jill's purge.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I bet. I wouldn't mind being on the other end of one of your purges. I don't need anything, but I would love to be on the end of one
late.
Of your purges.
You're late to the game.
I would have been there with my...
You made, like, clothes, everything.
I didn't think I needed anything either until I got over there. It's like, ooh, I do need this lamp and those chairs.
Yeah. I know.
No, because you'd have the good purge.
But, like, for example, like, we had... right? I had these two chairs. They weren't overwhelmingly expensive, and by the way, when I say overwhelmingly expensive, I mean multiple thousands of dollars, because it's amazing how a designer comes into your house and suddenly you need very expensive chairs.
Of course.
Right? I'm like, I say to my designer, right, like, there's a throw pillow, right? This guy sends me an estimate, right? There's a pillow on there. He's got $15,000 worth of pillows, and I was like, tell me something, how much do you make in a year? And it's like, you know, I don't know, $150,000. And I was like, would you spend $15,000 of that on pillows? And he's like, well, I don't want to either.
Good for you.
Good.
I was like, $15,000 worth of pillows? What effing planner do you want, dude? People are starving and freaking all over the world. $15,000 worth of pillows? Do I have the word a-hole tattooed across my forehead? But, like, you know, I was like, I don't care what pillow it is. Is it freaking gold lace pillow? What is it? Like, no. So, anyway, we have these two chairs, and it was from A Different Life, right? They were from a guest bedroom, this funky guest bedroom that had become the kids' room at the city house that we still hadn't thrown away. And there is no place for them. There's no place for them. They belong to a different room in a different furniture theme, and it was like, this life is over. That guest bedroom is gone. It went with a wallpaper that has since long been torn down. Beds, light fixtures, tables, all of it has been gone now. All of it was gone when we turned it into a kid's room. Still the two chairs. And they're still there. And that was me. And I said to Autumn, I was like, okay, these have no place. Like, they go with nothing. In the new house, they must go. And Autumn, you know, took them. But it's like, it's just, I'm like, great. My assistant wants the chairs. Fantastic. She deserves them. I don't have room for them. And instead, they just become like a, what are we going to do with these chairs?
Right.
And they don't go anywhere in the room.
Right. So everybody's paralyzed.
Yes.
Yeah. Chairs become paralyzed.
So anyway.
Yeah. That's all.
Very cool.
Sort of.
Just let me know where the next purge is. Even though I don't need anything.
Oh, believe me. Oh, yeah. You, of all things, who have more crap than you know what to do with. Becoming a personal trainer helped me transform people's lives, and as you know, I love it. It's literally the meaning in my career. It makes me love what I do. And if you're at all curious or passionate about the same things I am, and you want the same opportunity to improve the lives of those around you, then check this out. Become a certified personal trainer with the National Academy of Sports Medicine and let them help you help others reach their fitness goals. NASM guarantees that you will land a job within 60 days of certification or they will give you your money back. You have nothing to lose. The fitness industry is booming right now and there is a huge demand for qualified, certified personal trainers. You can earn a ton of money and you can love what you do. Imagine that. Imagine waking up in the morning and loving your job. Well, I do, and so can you. All you have to do is go to usatrainer.com today to get started with your free 14-day sneak peek of their fast and fun online program. That's 14 free days closer to your dream job and making great money at usatrainer.com. Let me say that two more times, guys. usatrainer.com. All you got to do, type it in right now, usatrainer.com. You know, it's always so tough to come up with a whole segment about fitness because I've covered it. You know what I mean? Like,
I
there's
do.
Nothing we
I
haven't
do.
Really talked about. And so I hate to be redundant, which is why it's always so difficult to talk about fitness, because we've covered it. So I try to kind of come up with something semi-fitnessy by giving people some factoids. So I thought we would call this like our fitness and food factoid segment.
Oh.
Yeah.
Put that underneath the factoid.
All right.
All
right.
Ready.
This is a factoid.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is for people with exercise-induced asthma. Supposedly, current research is showing that caffeine is as effective as an inhaler at reducing symptoms of exercise-induced asthma. This came out of an Indiana University study. And, of course, they had treadmill runners drink 4 5-ounce cups of coffee an hour before exercise, which is kind of a lot. But you, if it was, you know, imagine probably 400 milligrams of coffee
okay.
at one shot, whereas I tend to prefer people do 200 milligrams before training. But basically, their bronchial passages were significantly less constricted following the session. It's, again, that's a lot of coffee. But drinking about half that amount should still help a man with exercise-induced asthma. And I would, again, I've always said I wouldn't go more than 200 milligrams of caffeine in a sitting or a serving, so to speak, which no more than 2 a day. But I thought that was kind of interesting. So if you struggle with that, but we've always talked about how caffeine can be a performance enhancer when you take it in the right mm-hmm. dose and the right form. I, of course, don't like coffee for a million reasons. I like coffee, but it's not the best way to use it as an exercise aid. So try it in pill form, or take eBoost is a perfect example because it has electrolytes and antioxidants, and it's from green tea, and it's time released, etc. But I thought that was kind of neat. Now, here's another one. It was a study about anger. So this study was called the Anger Advantage. And apparently expressing anger increases muscle force by 25%. This came out of a Journal of Sport and Exercise Psychology. And they found that college students who demonstrated anger by shouting, they kicked harder than the students who weren't angry, basically. And they had more muscle force, more intensity. They were able to lift more. And it's kind of interesting because I've often talked about, like, you know, taking the edge off when you're really angry.
Yeah.
But it serves the workout. So if you are really angry, it's a great time to go to the gym. Because not only does it help you manage your anger and we've talked about taking the edge off, right? But it also increases the benefits of your workout because it amps up your intensity.
Well, martial arts, do you use angry sounds?
No, it's not.
Really?
No, it's not an angry sound. The idea is to get the air out of your lungs. So
isn't that funny?
It's not to get the wind, so you don't get the wind knocked out of you. You're getting the air out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's not. It's actually not. The interesting thing about martial arts is you shouldn't be emotional at all when you're fighting.
Really?
No. No, when you're sloppy, you're a mess. No, it's strategy. You're not supposed to be emotional. You can't think straight. It's self-defense. So if you think about it, it's literally what it's supposed to be, is self-defense and self-control.
Jay, could you wrinkle that a little bit louder? Thanks.
Sorry. Oh, no. Oh, boy. Okay. Are you ready for another one? This is actually more food-related. But it's a food combination little segment. So we've talked about how previously, though. I feel good about talking about this one because we haven't talked about it in a while. And I covered a lot of this in the Master Your Metabolism cookbook. It's like foods with certain health benefits and what's best to combine together for ultimate health benefits. But here's something simple to think about. So a great combination of food would be something like ocean-caught salmon and red wine or grapes if you're sober. And this is because the polyphenols in grapes help you absorb more of the omega-3 fatty acids.
Mm, that's cool.
So that's a nice little combination if you're having salmon or fish, red wine. And even though you would think white, but in particular, ocean-caught salmon and a little red wine. All right, another one. If you're having, let's say, steak or spinach salad, even for that matter, if you had something with iron, by incorporating vitamin C into the meal, it helps your body absorb more iron, which is more of an issue for women and less of an issue for men mm-hmm. for obvious monthly reasons. But, for example, let's say you had a spinach salad. You'd want to incorporate some vitamin C, so maybe you put, because the iron in the spinach, maybe you put berries on the salad, or you use lemon in the dressing. If you're having steak, let's say you incorporate some red bell peppers into the mix, so maybe steak fajitas with bell peppers, or a skirt steak salad where you've got some bell peppers in there, or the spinach salad could have some mandarin orange slices.
Yep.
Okay, another one. Now, this is a tough one. I don't know how in the world you would sort of combine these, but if you can get, the idea is to get folate, which is B6, in conjunction with B12. So, sort of like combining B6 and folate and B12 would be something like low-fat Greek yogurt with spinach, which is weird.
Put in
maybe
a smoothie.
A smoothie, exactly. Mm-hmm. So maybe if you made a little smoothie, you could put a little spinach in there. And B12 is great for fighting fatigue, depression, boosting energy, amping metabolism. So maybe in the morning you make a little yogurt smoothie and you drop a few leaves of spinach in it. That's unbelievably helpful. And then last but not least, again, we've talked about this so many times that it's like, I don't feel comfortable making a whole segment out of it. But there was a bunch of research that was released very recently that really just reiterates what we already know. That it was about like the great aerobic hoax, the concept that cardio is the best way to lose weight, which is not the case. And they did a whole study with lifters and aerobic exercisers and dieters, and they showed that the people who did weightlifting lost 100% fat, whereas the people that just did cardio lost 75% fat and 25% muscle. And that cardio can make you, quote, skinny fat. You might get smaller, but not necessarily leaner. And the best way to get leaner and smaller is, of course, to lift weights. And then we already know that high-intensity exercise is better for weight loss and muscle maintenance than low-intensity exercise. So things like interval training and weight training are going to be way better than sitting on your elliptical for hours at a time. And metabolic circuits are good because they work different muscles in each exercise, which burns more calories and so on. But there's a few snippets to kind of take with you your next meal or get a little pissed at something and then go to the gym. In fact, I'm mad at you right now.
You're mad at me right now?
I am.
I know, I can tell.
I am furious.
I can so tell when you're mad at me.
I'm going to go hit the bag. What the heck was that? What the hell snort sound was that?
That's the factoid. End of the factoid segment snort.
All right, guys, check this out. I have a killer offer for you. You know that I am an investor in eBoost. What is eBoost? It's a natural energy supplement. It's a little shot, and guess what? It has no artificial garbage in it of any kind. That means no artificial sweeteners, no artificial colors, no chemicals, no crapola, all natural. 160 milligrams of caffeine from green tea. It's got antioxidants, vitamins, electrolytes to put you in peak top performing shape. It is my absolute favorite go-to supplement. And so for you guys, right now, as a special, you simply go to eboost.com. And if you enter the promo code FEELGREAT, all one word, you'll get 50% off anything and everything that you buy. So if you buy 5 boxes, 50% off. So check it out. Now, this one you're going to have to help me out here with, McManus.
All right.
So, Janice gave me this article, 10 Things to Stop Apologizing For, and I thought, you know, there's a lot on here that didn't make sense to me. And when I read out some of the things that this article had listed, Janice actually says that she apologized for some of those things.
Well, don't forget, I am Canadian, too. So when you're a Canadian...
What the hell?
It's just spend a week in Canada.
What we want to do is actually talk about the nature of an apology. But I can't say I necessarily agree with the article. Like, for example, don't apologize for your age. Who apologizes for their age? I'm sorry, I'm 50. I'm sorry. What do you mean you apologize for that?
I
don't even get that. Why would anyone apologize for that?
Because you would say, what's an example?
See, you can't even think of it.
No, but I can see myself saying it. And unfortunately, I can't give you an example of what the situation was, but You'd say, well, you know, I am 50, so maybe, I don't know. But some people feel awkward about being older. Like, it makes it...
And they owe an apology? Really? Look, let's talk about the nature of an apology. First of all, I think an apology is one of the most powerful tools you have in your arsenal. So before we get into why not to apologize, I would actually like for people to be able to perform a genuine and sincere apology more often. I think that it's very healing to be able to apologize to somebody. And yes, I appreciate that then the behavioral change needs to back it up. It's not just enough to be like, sorry, I called you a bad name. You need to not call that person a name again or attempt to change your behavior. But I think that there's something about an apology that's very cathartic and therapeutic. Now, it's when you have done something wrong, when you've hurt somebody, not because you're necessarily a bad person, but because of your own shortcomings. I've already thought of all the apologies I'm going to have to make to my kids one day when they get older. And it's like, I'm not kidding. Boy, oh boy. And I see it in spades. And, you know, I know the day is going to come where one of them is going to say, you know, you blah, blah, blah. And I'm all ready to go, you know what, babe, you're right. I'm sorry. You know, it comes from this in my background. It's one of my shortcomings. It's something that I really tried hard to improve and work on, but I'm sorry that it affected you in the following ways. These are all the ways that I was aware of it and tried to make it better. And now that you've brought this aspect of it to my attention, I'll try to improve upon that for you as well. And I think in particular for a child, that can be really healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of the parent that goes like, you're crazy. My dad, you know, you would try to tell him something that he would do wrong, and he would just come back at you like, how dare you, and it was all your fault, and you were nuts, and you were crazy, and you were spoiled, and you were... Just once, if he could have been like, wow, you're right, that was mean, or that was...
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't even know that individual, my head would explode. But, you know, but the thing is, you know, this was a man that didn't have the self-esteem to apologize.
Right.
It requires self-esteem to make an actual apology when you've done something wrong, because you have to have the ego strength to admit that you're not perfect.
Certainly.
You're right. I'm not perfect. I did mess that up. And that's really hard for a lot of people. So the value of a sincere apology when you have actually done something wrong or hurt somebody is tremendous. Now, for those people that apologize for frickin' their age for things they don't have control over, for things they've already apologized for, this one I don't even get, for being the life of the party. Who would apologize? If you're the life of the party, you're probably not a person who's going to apologize for being the life of the party. For taking the wrong road. I don't even know what this means.
Well, like that, there's, it's saying, like, okay, life of the party, for example. Maybe you went with somebody, you and your spouse, or you and your partner went to a party, and you're like, ah, and your spouse is kind of like, maybe a bit more of a wallflower, and it monsters them, it monsters the space. So maybe you were going to go, oh, God, I'm really sorry that I kind of was bigger than...
No, I get you. Completely understand.
I don't get that at all. And I don't think you have to make an apology for being you. I think it's the wallflower's responsibility to be who they want to be in that moment, not yours. And I guess that's where it's like, hey, don't apologize for things that don't involve you. Don't apologize for other people's shortcomings or for their inability to assert themselves or for their inability to pursue their happiness or for their inability to pursue their goals and dreams. And people will bump into me and be like, oh, sorry, sorry. And I'm like, no, excuse me, maybe what you want to say. Or contestants will always say sorry. And I'm like, don't say sorry to me unless you've run over my dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't say sorry unless you've genuinely done something wrong. You don't have to be sorry.
You're
sorry for existing. Sorry for taking up space. When you apologize and you've actually done something wrong, that's having the ego strength to say, no, there's enough good in me. I can admit that there's, you know, I did this wrong. I'm not perfect. But when you apologize for everything under the sun, that's like saying, I'm sorry I'm alive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't deserve to share your air, which is bullcrap.
But you said something interesting when you gave the example. You said, I'm going to have to apologize to my children for these things.
Oh, without a doubt.
However, you made a connection to the apology. Like, some people don't have the insight. You have to go, gosh, I'm sorry about that. It's because it did this to me. Some people can't take it to that other level because we don't have the awareness.
I would say that to them so they knew it was never about them.
True.
You know, like there are moments when I talk to my shrink and I'm like, why do I feel like I'm the only one, at least in my relationship in particular, that feels the loss of the life before kids? I love my kids. Do not get me wrong. But we're different when we're together. When we're just Heidi and I, we're actually a couple. But when it's me, Heidi, the baby, Lou, her parents, my mom, her sister, we're no longer a couple. There's a dynamic that goes far beyond our coupledom. It's yeah. like I'm policing this one, she's policing that one, she's managing her parents, I'm managing, you know, my mom, she, her sister. It's a whole different, like, and so when we just went away, I was like, we used to be a couple. We used to, like, be a couple. Like, it was us. We cared about each other. It was us. It was our dynamic. We were each other's primary concern, and that's gone. And that makes me sad. I was able to read the paper. I have not read the bloody paper in 2 years. And I don't like the news, but I like the Sunday paper. I like to read the business section and the entertainment section. And, you know, I don't want to hear about atrocities that are going on in the world, but I like it. It's nice. It relaxes me. Like, I got to sleep until 8 o'clock. I don't remember the last time that I haven't heard Phoenix crying by 6 in the morning. Like, it's just, and I was like, dear God, like, I don't want to feel this way, but there are times when I just go, my life, you know. And my shrink was like, listen, you know, here's the reality. A lot of people don't find this as bad because when they were kids, they had a very, very positive experience of being a child. They liked being a child. They enjoyed being a baby and having their needs met and anticipated. And, you know, for me, when I turned 17, and it's not my mom, but it was, there's a lot of the dynamic that occurred with my dad. My mom was the best thing about my childhood. But for me, when I turned 17 and I was out of the house, I was free. I was like, thank God I can breathe for the first time. Because you got to remember, from 13 to 17, it was all the divorce and my dad and all of that and all his shenanigans and the control and all of it. And so, you know, I don't have that. Like, I'm not going back and reliving childhood through my children. In fact, a lot of it creates anxiety for me. So, for example, Phoenix, when he couldn't talk, you know, when he was a baby and I was like, oh, I just kept saying to my shrink, this must be awful for him. This must be awful for him. He can't say he wants to go to the bathroom. He can't get up and go and do what he wants to do. He can't say that he's hungry. He can't tell us what he's hungry for. This must be awful for him. This must be awful. And he's like, this is your stuff. This is your stuff. Wow. This is one of the most blissful periods in a human being's life where they're merged with their mother. And Heidi was such a good mom, is such a good mom, and anticipated his needs and, you know, read his mind and all of that. And so for me, having gone from being, I'm rogue, I'm solo, I can take off whenever I want, I'm focused on my business and the competition of my business, like, I don't really do that anymore. I'm way less focused on work. I don't want to do press. I don't want to do anything. Mm-hmm. I barely, you know, it, like, Health Magazine, I'm like, nah, pass. I don't want to do it. I'm like, I'll do 2 magazine covers a year. I used to do 7. Don't want to do it anymore. I'm like, no, I have a finite amount of energy and it's going to the kids. Whereas before it was like, I'm going to conquer the world. Now I'm like, I got to deal with the twos, terrible twos. And I know that there's going to be a time where one of my kids might pick up on, they may sense that I feel that loss. It doesn't mean I don't love them and it doesn't mean I'm not grateful for them, but I do. I grieve the loss of that independence that I had. Yep. And, that it comes from my childhood. And I know if they ever come to me and be like, Mom, I felt like you resented aspects of motherhood, and they pick up on it, because I try to hide it, but kids are not dumb. Like, you know, I don't want to go to the soccer game on Sunday. I want to go to yoga class, but you know where I'm going to go? Soccer game. You know, like, I don't particularly love going to the spring sing for a 3-year-old, but I go. Do you know that? Because you got to sit through. I don't, but I go. But she might pick up that, like, you were on your phone or I don't know what. And I try really hard. I'm just admitting, like, there are a lot of flaws I have. I see them. I'm aware of them. I know the day is going to come where
I'm going to see how they've affected my kids. And when they do step to me, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to pretend like it didn't happen. I'm not going to act like they're crazy. I'm going to really think about what they're saying. And if I think there's merit to it, I'm going to say, you know, you're right. I'm really sorry. These are the ways that I've been limited, and these are the ways that I work on it, and it had nothing to do with you. It comes from X, Y, and Z. Because kids really internalize their parents' stuff. And they think it's about them when it's about their parents.
Right.
And their parents' right. issues. And if I don't think it's about me, then I'll simply say, God, honey, you know, I really have to think about that. I don't know that I fully agree with you about this, but I am sorry that you felt that way. And let me process it. And let's talk about how we could interact differently so that you don't feel that way in the future. But that's an apology.
Yeah.
Sorry I bumped into you. Sorry I, you know, put the cup down instead of putting the cup in your hand. Sorry I'm 50. Oh, sorry I, you know, am going through the door at the same time as you. That is a whole different, that is not... That is something to stop apologizing for. Existing in the world? No. Pursuing your own happiness? No. We don't apologize for those things.
Man, so it's a habit. Then it must be a habit.
It's definitely a learned behavior. It's definitely cultural. Yeah. And it's also, you know, not everything has one source for existing.
True.
No, everybody has different issues for different reasons. So one person might apologize because of low self-esteem. Another person might apologize because they're Canadian and that's what Canadians do. Another person might apologize because their mom always apologized. Or,
right.
You know, it's. But the reality is, I'm telling you right now, unless you have intentionally or unintentionally hurt someone's feelings, that's worthy of an apology, and it must be backed up by a change in behavior. Okay, check this out. I am obsessed with our new sponsor, NatureBox.com. This is the bomb. There are no more excuses about not being able to find nutritious snacks, not knowing what to choose for a good snack option, not having the time to get snacks, blah, blah, blah. Here is a solution to your problem. NatureBox.com is a subscription-based service. They offer delicious and nutritious snack delivery on a monthly basis. So no matter what your dietary needs are, these guys have you covered. If you're vegan, if you're gluten-free, if you want non-GMO, you name it, they can handle it for you. Their products are made from wholesome ingredients and they abide by strict quality standards. They are Jillion approved. That means no high fructose corn syrup, no partially hydrogenated oils, no trans fats, no artificial sweeteners, no artificial colors, etc. They've got 3 boxes and 3 different price points, so there's options to fit everyone's needs and everyone's budget. Whether you're at home, whether you're going to the office, or if you're just on the go, these are snacks you can feel great about. And at any point, if you want to, you can pause your subscription or even cancel it. So what are you guys waiting for? For our listeners, NatureBox.com is going to offer 50% off your first month's box in any size. All you have to do is go to NatureBox.com/Jillion and get started today. It's that easy. All lowercase, NatureBox.com/Jillian. So check it out. It is awesome.
Okay, we're back, and Kathleen, just coming out of a happy hour in Baltimore, Maryland, here she is.
Hey, wow, happy hour.
Happy hour.
I like it.
We're on the East Coast time, so it's past 5 o'clock.
She's like, I can drink. I can drink.
Fair enough. What's going on, buddy?
Not much. You know, I'm a huge, huge fan of yours. I really have to say I have... almost all of your DVDs. I'm just a really huge fan, and I just want to thank you, you know, for all that you do. I love watching you every week on The Biggest Loser, and I really try to be just a little Jillian disciple. So.
Oh, thank you. That's terrifying for you, but I love it. I say that's wonderful. Thank you.
So my question is, I weigh about, you know, my weight fluctuates between 125 and 128.
Okay.
Unfortunately today, you know, I'm on the 128 side, but My question is, when I'm doing your workout, something, you know, more strenuous like the level 3 of killer bugs and thighs, how many calories am I burning?
Okay, this is a good question. And the only real way to answer that is with a body monitoring device. And again, it won't be 100% accurate, but it will be pretty accurate. And here's why that's a very difficult question to answer, because number one, no one's going to burn the same amount because of their muscle composition, or their, I'm sorry, their body composition, how lean they are, right? Muscle ratio,
right.
Body fat ratio, water, and so on. Your age, your gender, your weight, your height,
right.
Your biochemistry. Now, what I can tell you is that provided you're able, you're doing killer buns and thighs, level 3, if you were doing the modified version, you would burn less. If you're doing
the
more advanced version, you would burn more.
Mm-hmm.
The way that I've designed the workout is to burn as many calories as you possibly can with an at-home DVD. The only way you would burn more calories with that DVD is if you put two 20-pound dumbbells in your hands, which, I don't recommend because I think it would be extraordinarily difficult. But the only way to go, I want more out of this is to add more weight to the equation, because in each and every exercise that I'll give you, I will even show you, okay, here's a level 1, here's a level 2, and here's a level 3 version of the move. So I'll always give you different factors or elements. Oh, add a jump to it. Oh, now raise one leg here, or do this or that so that you can maximize it in every possible way. The techniques that are incorporated, multiple muscle groups, core base, body weight, free weight, HIIT training. There's balance, there's power, there's speed, there's agility, there's 30-second intervals, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things are the most cutting-edge techniques with regard to metabolic conditioning, fat metabolism, maintaining lean muscle. Now, how your individual body is going to respond, you might be burning 8 calories a minute, Janice might be burning 6 calories a minute, I might be burning, Jake might do it and burn 15 calories a minute.
Yeah.
And I've seen it, by the way, with contestants where it's like, I can take two girls that are 15 pounds apart running the same course at the same speed. Like, I can put them on the same program on a treadmill, and it's like at the end, one will be like, I don't understand why I burn 300 calories more than she did. So there are so many different factors that can affect it. What I can safely say to you is, if we were to give it a rounded off number and you were following that DVD to the letter of the law, I'd give you 10 calories a minute, which is probably on the more conservative side, because level 3 of killer buns and thighs, you could be doing 12 to 15.
Oh my gosh.
That's
how I feel when I'm doing the level 3 is, oh my gosh, it has to be
level
really
3
high,
is
right?
brutal. Yeah, but you can safely know this. You're not going to get a better burn for your buck unless you added more weight to the equation.
Okay.
So, and it's not just the way the workout is designed. It isn't just designed to get 300 calories off you. It's also designed for afterburn effect, meaning an elevated and ramped up metabolism for a longer period of time. And again, the only thing that would affect your afterburn would be the duration. So like if you did something like extreme shed and shred, which is 45 minutes, well, it'll amp up your afterburn a little bit longer because it wasn't a 30-minute workout. It was a 45-minute workout.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, amping up intensity if you added resistance. Those would be the only two factors, for the most part, that would amp up the burn that you get after the workout. Elevated metabolism. I always mess this up. It's called EPOC. And it's a fancy way of saying your metabolism is elevated after workouts. And there are all kinds of factors, but the only two that you could change would be the duration of the workout and by adding more weights to up the intensity. So,
okay.
If you got a body monitoring device, though, it could tell you, pretty close to the letter of the law where you're at. But some of them, like, without getting sued, some of them are cool looking but don't have the best technology.
Cool.
So there are some that are better than others. I like, quite honestly, of course I like the body media device. But you could also, that one works. But, like, I also used to have success with a straight-up heart rate monitor.
Okay.
So it's slightly cheaper, than body media. That's my favorite device, but
If it was too expensive, a heart rate monitor with a calorie counter can help as well.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I just want to really make sure that, you know, I think it's not only important to count the calories that I'm consuming, but making sure that I'm not overestimating what I'm burning out.
Of course.
You know, I don't want to do the DVD and then go, oh, I can go have a, you know, a double cheeseburger. Because, no, it doesn't work that way.
Well,
I want to make sure I know what I'm burning.
It does work that way, but you don't get a double cheeseburger and a bottle of wine and the fries and the shake.
Yeah.
So it is very much like balancing a checking account. So you're obviously not needing to lose weight, so it becomes... You are working out to be able to indulge a little bit more as opposed to working out to create weight loss. So, in fact, you are doing this possibly to go to your happy hour and still look and feel great. But it's like it's two glasses of wine, not five beers. Think of it that way. And I would say if you're doing killer buns and thighs level 3, you're good for at least 500 calories, 300 during and an amped up rate of 200.
I've been able to do it every day this week, so I think – You know, I've earned, you know, one or two drinks at happy hour.
Yeah, happy hour. So suck
it. No, I'm going back in when we get off the phone. But
Well, we don't want to hold you up.
I just want to say I'm so excited to talk to you. It's just made my entire day, and I can, die happy. I can't wait to tell everybody that I was talking to Julia Michaels.
They're going to be like, who?
I just told all the girls at the table, and they knew who was calling when the phone lit up.
You.
So.
That's cute. I'm popular.
Yeah, you're so popular.
Thank you so much, sweetie. Go have fun.
Thank you so much, Jillian.
Talk to you later.
Bye, Kathleen.
You too. Bye.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Popular.
Aw. But they're going to do a little toast to you right now.
Yeah, as long as it's tequila, I'll be fine.
Baltimore or Maryland?
I always buy Baltimore and Monopoly.
You always buy it?
I always do. There's the Baltimore, the two purples. I think there's two purples.
God, I haven't played.
And you know, people don't often buy them because they think that they're right after go, and they're sort of cheaper, you know, because you've just been hit with like Boardwalk and Park Place. But that'll put somebody out of a game. It'll take their $200 after passing go every time. Don't ever underestimate that property.
You know what? I can see. You know what? You'd be shrewd. A hell of a realtor.
I'm shrewd.
You are shrewd.
Yeah. I buy it all. Hence the term Monopoly.
Do you play with the kids, or who do you play Monopoly with?
I haven't played Monopoly in years. I used to play with my dad, and that's where I learned to be a
cheater. I was just gonna,
my dad would steal extra money from the bank and hide it under the board.
I don't know why, but I just like, that's the first thing I thought is I bet you she played with her dad.
Yeah, he was a monster.
That's so
an
funny.
Absolute monster. When apples to apple, or like when we play Cards Against Humanity. I told you that my mom, did I ever tell you that story?
No.
About how my mom was like, we were playing for a jackpot, and whoever had the most victory cards, right, by a certain time wins the pot. And my mom didn't like our cards, and she's like, these cards suck, honey. And I was like, and I was dealing the cards, and she goes, give us some new cards. And I was like, Mom, I can't do that. And she goes, there's money on the line. Do you want to win or not?
Yeah. Your mom's.
Yeah. I swear to God. Raised a sociopath.
Oh,
clearly. Anyway, well,
all right.
It's been fun.
Oh dear, I'm having a hot flash. We gotta go.
Okay.
All right.
like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.